The nuclear trolley problem. How one man holds 8 billion hostage. The world is watching a genocide unfold in Gaza. Tens of thousands are dead. Entire cities flattened. Children starved in full view of satellites and smartphones. And yet, not a single Western power has intervened. No sanctions. No arms embargoes. No red lines. Only silence, delay, and double standards. Why? Because Israel is a nuclear-armed rogue state. Because Benjamin Netanyahu is unstable, and everyone in power knows it. Because behind closed doors, Israel is invoking the Samson option, a threat of global annihilation if it is cornered. And because Western leaders are terrified. This is the real reason for inaction. This is the nuclear trolley problem, not a thought experiment, but the moral crisis of our time. The Samson option, Israel's nuclear blackmail. The Samson option is Israel's long-rumored doomsday doctrine. If Israel faces existential defeat, it will bring down the temple on the world. This is no longer a deterrent. It is a diplomatic weapon. According to multiple intelligence sources, whose assessments have been cited by former Israeli and American officials, Israel has never implemented the safeguards expected of a nuclear state. No civilian oversight. No two-key launch protocol. No public doctrine of restraint. No external inspections or IAEA supervision. And worse, Israel acquired much of its arsenal through covert theft, including hundreds of kilograms of enriched uranium diverted from U.S. facilities in the 1960s. The world knows this. And the world lets it slide. Why? Because Israel has made its position clear, explicitly in doctrine, and implicitly in diplomacy. Stop us, and we might end the world. Netanyahu, one man, one button. Western intelligence agencies have long assessed Benjamin Netanyahu as psychologically unstable, a man consumed by paranoia, vengeance, and self-preservation. He is currently under indictment for corruption. He leads a government filled with open fascists and theocrats. He has invoked biblical annihilationist language repeatedly. For example, Amalek Hay is fighting for his political and legal survival. Israel's security doctrine does not restrain him. Its nuclear arsenal has no external checks. And its global enablers have no plan for what happens if he decides to burn the world down. This is not hypothetical. The Samson option has become real policy, not through official declaration, but through diplomatic threat. Behind the scenes, Netanyahu's government is almost certainly conveying this message to Western leaders. We will escalate beyond your control. Do not interfere. And they believe him. That's why they tolerate genocide. Genocide shielded by a nuclear threat. Western leaders do not doubt that Israel is committing war crimes. They do not believe it's acting proportionately. They know the evidence of genocide is overwhelming. But they also know that any serious intervention, sanctions, arms cutoffs, ICC enforcement, could push Netanyahu over the edge. He has already flattened Gaza, starved children, bombed refugee camps, hospitals, journalists, and aid convoys, threatened Lebanon, Syria, and Iran with escalation, refused ICJ orders and dismissed the ICC with contempt. And through it all, the US, Germany, the UK, and others offer nothing but moral evasion. Because they fear nuclear reprisal more than moral collapse. This is not appeasement. This is hostage-taking on a planetary scale. Rogue state, global risk. Unlike every other nuclear power, Israel operates in the dark. No treaty obligations. No NPT, no inspections, no IAEA, no safeguards, no PALs, no dual control, no oversight, military, not civilian, control, no legal doctrine, its official policy is silence. The United States, for all its flaws, still requires the two-man rule, permissive action links, PALs DEFCON protocols, Pentagon and congressional oversight. Israel has none of these and has never been forced to implement them. Instead, it is protected by the myth of moral exceptionalism and the fear of reprisal. It is the only state on earth that could credibly threaten nuclear war for being held accountable and be believed. Appeasement redux, the next genocide is already mapped. Western leaders know the playbook. In the 1930s, Europe believed Hitler would stop. After the Rhineland. After Austria. After Czechoslovakia. At every step, they chose appeasement, hoping war could be avoided if they fed him just a little more territory. He never stopped. Today, the same logic is at work. Western leaders are watching the destruction of Gaza and praying it ends there. They know it won't. And now, Netanyahu has confirmed it won't. I feel I'm on a historic and spiritual mission. I'm very attached to the vision of a greater Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu, August 12, 2025, The Times of Israel. Greater Israel is not poetic language. It refers explicitly to land that includes all of Gaza, the West Bank, and parts of Jordan, Egypt, Syria, and Lebanon. This is not speculation. It is ideological doctrine, one Netanyahu is openly affirming while waging a genocidal war. Just like in the 1930s, Western leaders are pretending the ambitions will stop. They won't. Fear by fiction, why the West can't pull the lever. Western leaders are afraid, but not necessarily of reality. They are afraid of what they've seen in movies. For decades, it's been strategic orthodoxy that any nuclear exchange would trigger total planetary annihilation. This belief, rooted in Cold War doctrine, is echoed in films like War Games, 1983, where a single launch leads to global thermonuclear war. But that's not how the world works anymore, and Western intelligence knows it. Behind closed doors, Israel is already regarded by many defense analysts as a rogue actor, one whose nuclear use would likely be limited, local, and tactical, not globally apocalyptic. They also fear radioactive fallout, imagery drawn from films like On the Beach, 1959, where one nuclear exchange leads to the extinction of life on Earth. But again, this fear is wildly overstated. Even multiple limited nuclear strikes would not release anything close to the global radiation levels caused by Chernobyl. This is not strategy. It is irrational deterrence theater, internalized through cinematic conditioning, and exploited by a nuclear rogue state. The regression, from civilization to fear. At its root, the world's paralysis is not just political. It's psychological. As a species, we evolved under conditions where submitting to power was often the difference between survival and annihilation. When threatened, our instincts tell us to side with the strongest, even when that strength is wielded unjustly. Israel understands this. Netanyahu exploits it. By surrounding mass violence with the aura of invincibility, nuclear weapons, U.S. protection, biblical justification, Israel triggers a deep evolutionary response. Don't resist the strong. Submit. Survive. But the very premise of civilization is to override that instinct. Civilization exists to say, greater than number A. The strong do not get to kill with impunity. The weak are not expendable. Every time a leader defers to Israel's power rather than uphold international law, they are choosing tribal obedience over universal principle. Israel is not just killing a people. It is killing the idea that the powerful can be restrained. The captain's choice, morality over fear. In Star Trek, Voyager, the pilot episode Caretaker ends with Captain Janeway facing a terrible choice, let her crew return home safely, or destroy the only way back in order to protect a vulnerable alien species from annihilation. She chooses the latter. She chooses principle over safety, knowing it will cost her people everything. Starfleet captains, Kirk, Picard, Janeway, have always stood as symbols of moral courage. Again and again, they risk their ships, their crews, even themselves, not for profit, not for nationalism, not for security, but because it's the right thing to do. This is Immanuel Kant's imperative. Greater than act only according to that maxim whereby you can, at the same time, will that it should become a universal law. In other words, do what is morally right, regardless of the cost. That is what our leaders are failing to do. And in doing so, they are not just permitting genocide. They are abandoning the very idea of morality as a guide to action. Call to action. Speak, pressure, refuse to submit. Do not be silent. Keep talking about Gaza. Keep reminding the world that what is happening is not a conflict. It is the systematic extermination of a trapped population, in full view of history. Keep pressuring your governments. Let them know that you see through the silence, that you understand what they are really afraid of. Not escalation, not terrorism, but Israel's nuclear blackmail. Yes, the Samson option is real. Yes, Netanyahu is unstable. Yes, world leaders are afraid of what might happen if they confront him. But we are not obligated to surrender our values to terrorist threats, not from rogue groups, and not from rogue states. If we let nuclear blackmail succeed once, it will succeed again. And if we stay silent now, we will carry that silence forever. You don't need to be in power to have power. Use your voice. Use your vote. Use your platform. Use your conscience. Civilization is not defended in grand moments. It is defended in the daily choice to speak the truth, even when it's dangerous. Especially when it's dangerous. The genocide must stop. The blackmail must be called. And the world must remember what it means to stand for something. Because Gaza is not just a battleground. It is a moral mirror, showing us exactly who we are. And who we're willing to become.